stuff you use. God, we thank you for all the ways in which you work in our lives, in those unfortunate opportunities we create for you to bless us and teach us. Meet us, O God, in all the places of our lives, in the places we meditate, in our joys and concerns, in our hopes and blessings. Meet us in all those places. Transform us, and may that be the good news we share with the world we touch. In Christ's name. Amen. What stuff drives you crazy? Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have a good day if I didn't lose my keys at least once. Well, somebody else wouldn't. I mean, if I didn't lose my keys, I would lose my reputation. Right? What stuff drives you crazy? Not about anybody else, just about you. I know your list could be really long if you look at the things in your household. Not mine, of course. This is the stuff that drives me crazy. But this is the stuff that fashions and forms us. Have you ever gotten a piece of lumber from, now some of you may not even know what I'm talking about here, but have you ever gotten a piece of lumber that you want to make something out of from the hardware store? You usually have to buy some sandpaper because it's got a little bit of a rough edge to it, right? Well, in some ways, that's a metaphor for who we are. We got some rough edges. The stuff that makes us crazy gets smoothed off by God's hand in our lives. I'm not saying God creates the rough stuff. You know, that just comes from who we are. These containers, the DNA that lives inside of us, how we make it all work. The stuff about relationships are a great metaphor for rough edges. Can I get a witness? Anybody been in a relationship, say maybe past, well, we could say 2 hours, but let's just give it 2 months. Where you start noticing those little rough edges, okay, maybe 6 months. But at some point, if you're in it long enough, there's going to be some things you just need to fix. I'm not talking about you either, right? There's just things, there's stuff. And if you share the same sink, it's even bigger. I love that chuckle because I don't even have to say anything beyond it. You already get that it's about the toothpaste. Most relationships that don't make it are about the toothpaste. I love this scripture. I have to tell you that this scripture is the very reason I went to seminary. Because, you see, at first, my whole call to the ministry was shrouded in complexity and controversy because I was Southern Baptist and a girl. Because in the Southern Baptist Church, you cannot be an ordained minister if you're female. And when I was 7, I knew God had called me to the ministry. Reverend Hunter was his name. And he came to my house. I've shared this story before, you know, back in the old days. And maybe they still do it. I've just not been a Southern Baptist for a really long time. But I came forward Easter Sunday morning. And my minister made an appointment with my mother with that cute little spiral-bound A-frame flip chart that made sure I knew what I was doing, accepting Jesus as my personal Savior. For those of you who know me as strong-willed and subversive, it didn't just begin 10 years ago. I waited anxiously for him to hurry up and get to the end, because I had a deeper conversation to have with him. So when he was done, he said, "Well, do you understand everything?" I said, "Oh, yes, I understand. But my question is, how do I become a minister?" "Oh, honey, girls aren't preachers. They're Sunday school teachers and missionaries." I was not happy. Then I came out, thought, okay, I can't be a lesbian and a Christian. And I didn't choose being a lesbian. I did choose being a Christian, so I unchose being a Christian, because that's what made sense at the time. But then, I still wasn't complete. So I found my way in 1986. I was 11. Times 2.5. Okay. And I got it. I got it. I found that experience wash over me that completed me as a human being. God loved me just as I was. I could be gay and Christian and a minister. Oh, but wait a minute. You know, I still got a little Southern Baptist in me. Even though I left the Southern Baptist at 15 and I went to the Assemblies of God, just got it entrenched a little deeper, who I could be and who I could not be if I wanted eternal security. Can I get a witness? This scripture, I remember hearing this scripture. I was 15 at Bayfront, whatever that center was. You know, where they had the show, the concerts. What did it used to be called? What? Bayfront Center. Oh, there we go. Andre Crouch and the Disciples were at the Bayfront Center. And I went to that concert. And at that concert, you know, in one of those really deep, spiritual, touchy-feely moments where he's playing and singing and you're really just hooked, right? Well, if you know Andre Crouch, you know what I'm talking about. He quotes this scripture. If anyone causes any one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea, and that lived in my body. And as I stepped into the fullness of who I was, there was that little 0.00% that, what if I'm wrong? Now here I know God's called me into the ministry. I know in my body, in my mind, in my spirit, I am fully human, fully divine. And yet, what if I'm wrong? So what did I do? I went to seminary. That's where all the answers are, right? Hello. I didn't need to address how I felt or even how the Holy Spirit moved in me. I needed to address what was in my mind, what had fashioned and formed and shaped me as a Christian, as a young woman. I needed to understand 100% that God loved me and created me and blessed me just as I am in order to preach that as the good news for our community, for the hearts and lives who long to know that and wrap themselves in that and feel that. I needed to know it. But I wonder how in the world anyone would really wrap themselves into being a Christian if we really take this scripture seriously. I mean, think about it. Would you say yes? Would you say yes? If you knew that the charge that your hand might cause you to stumble would mean it has to be cut off? Or your foot? I ain't signing up. I mean, come on. This is metaphor. This is an opportunity for us to look introspectively at our hearts and lives. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how in the world do you make it salty again? What is this? What is Jesus talking about here? Any scientists in the room? How about eighth grade science class? Hey, there we go. Sodium chloride, salt. Very stable. It attracts itself. It's a very stable compound. It's a compound, right, Professor? Okay. Well, eighth grade was a really long time ago. Times 2.5. Salt. How does salt lose its saltiness? How does a relationship go from expressing, believing love to losing that? What impacts how we feel and how we dedicate ourselves to our relationships? You ever found the one? The one? That one that's made you feel like no one else has ever made you feel before? 3 relationships ago? Right? Can I get a witness? And then the next one came along and, oh my gosh, this is the one! That stable compound somehow became unstable. What happens in our relationships that impact our stability? What happens in our covenants? You know, in antiquity, and this is, you know, salt is like the balance in our lives. If our salt in our bodies is out of balance, we're out of balance. Right, doctor? Yeah. This is my reference guide over here. What happens to knock us out of balance? In antiquity, when you created a covenant that had the exchange, the promise exchange of salt included, you broke the covenant. Death was the penalty. That's probably why most of our relationships don't have salt on the altar when they get married. This covenant, serious business. What happens in our relationships that break apart a very stable bond? Doesn't matter what kind of relationship it is, whether it's your family system, a person that you become connected to in the bonds of love, a civic association, maybe even your neighborhood association, certainly church. We create covenants with each other. Usually when we feel our strongest connection, amen? What happens to water down those relationships? What happens? Think about it. It shouldn't take you very hard. What happens? Distractions, like that big, tall drink of water walking in the room. Life gets in the way, like how busy your Palm Pilot, that was last decade. How busy your whatever calendar you use is. How busy your life is, distractions, what else? What? Lack of effort. How many of us just get a little flabby down the road around our covenants? Disrespect, change. I always say if we're not willing to step into change, that will change us. What else? Spiritual questions? Not making time for each other? What about our covenants? Beyond our love relationship, what about our covenants with each other? Staying grounded and centered in why we came together in the first place will definitely impact how we stay together in the long run. Amen. This is the stuff. This is the stuff that's gonna make you nuts. Have you ever seen me crazy? I just know that it would be better if I just lay it out. We all have those moments where our stuff distracts us. In our personal relationship, in our community relationships, in our church relationships, in our relationship with God. How do we lose our saltiness? It doesn't just, the flavor, the saltiness doesn't break down on its own. It needs an outside source to change it. The work of our mission will never break down on its own. Our mission will always be our mission. What will impact it is the stuff that doesn't matter, is the stuff that waters it down. We can get all caught up in our stuff. How many of you are tempted by somebody else's stuff in the room? Just a few hands, but I know there's more. To be broken down, to have the stability of our call, of our charge, be broken down means that we're not focused on the mission. We're not focused. But I will tell you, that this song holds true, because even in our lack of focus, if we are watering down our charge and our call, God's going to use it to reshape us and refocus us. The good news is not just about us telling somebody God loves them. It's us showing someone God loves them. It's us living in action. It's us caring about our food pantry. It's us caring about the knock at the door and the injustice that happens in the homeless camps. It's us caring about our world, the world we touch, the world that touches us. How do we hold the stability of God's love wrapping us we stay centered on our mission. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for salt. May it remind us every time we use that condiment of the stability of your love and how you and us can change the world together. May the work we continue to do in the life of this church, may it be a stable compound, O God. May it continue to be the gift of life to the world we touch. In Christ's name, amen.
Your presence, draw me.